God set up all that exists. God created everything, and he said it was good. And during his creation, not one time was God not thinking about you and me. There's not a time since before time that you have not been on God's mind. And God says, I love you so much, so he sets up a way for you and I to be able to be with him throughout eternity. It's called salvation. Blood was going to have to be shed. But there was only one who could give the blood. That's the Son of Jesus, of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the pure blood of God, from the human standpoint, 100% man, 100% God. But now the story begins back what we call the Old Testament. I keep reminding you of this. You don't throw the Old Testament out. You study it to see where God's plan may have led you to fit in to his salvation. Now, through the Old Testament, you will find many, many deliverers were sent. There were many that were sent to deliver the people. But it always pointed to one day, I'm coming. And so the Old Testament tells the story, all the prophets tell the story of the time when Jesus is going to come. So we have what we call the Old Testament that gives us a guideline for how the New Testament began. It's going to begin with Jesus. God laid it out, and he wanted to show us something in it. And the part that I want to tell you about today is called the wilderness of sin. Now, when I'm translating wilderness in the Hebrew or from the Greek or any of that, actually it means chaos. You're in the wilderness, you're in chaos. Now, there's not a person out here doesn't have a chaos in your life, doesn't have to deal with chaos in your family. Different situations, different enemies attacking. And God said, I'll give you the book called the Bible. Everybody ought to get one. If you can't afford it, pastor, I'll get it for you. I want you to know the story of your salvation. I want you to know the story of not just the salvation of your soul for eternal life. I want you to know the story of the salvation that God has planned for you for the bad situation you're in right now, for the bad situation you're going to get yourself in tomorrow. It's called the wilderness of sin. Now God calls Moses. Moses, I got a job for you. Moses argued with the Lord. Lord, I'm not any count. Then he threw his age up at him. Lord, I'm too old for this. At 80 years old, God calls Moses to go deliver a whole nation out of bondage. And Moses had a speech impediment. Bad one. Lord, I can't speak. Good. God likes it when you admit that you don't have anything to say. That way he can give you his word so you can say something that's going to make a difference. So Moses was going to use his brother Aaron to speak on his behalf. God ordered it so. And so Moses goes to deliver the children out of bondage. Well, as they are delivered, as God brings them out, month and a half into it, as they're walking along the path God was telling them to go, You know what the whole nation started doing? Complaining. If you're a Baptist preacher, you'd swear up and down that must have been where we came from. They all started complaining. They made a bad mistake. It's called wilderness living. But one thing I want you to remember is this. Don't ever complain about, I like this part, so y'all try to remember this. Don't complain about God's man or God's plan. When God set it together, God said, I'll send you the deliverer. I'm the one that does the choosing. Groups of people can't pick who I called to preach. I'll do that, God says. So as God called Moses, and Moses is leading them, there was in this place, it's in Saudi Arabia, it's called Elim, right on past Elim is Mount Sinai. Now, God said, bring them here. There they were. And do you know what it was called? Listen to it. Exodus 16, verses 1 and 2. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel. I mean, every one of them came to the wilderness of Sin. Why was it called that? Here we go. Which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled or complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They decided, God, I don't like your plan. And I guarantee you they didn't like Moses. Moses was a tad strict. After all, God did call him, and God did tell him what to do, and there wasn't any arguing with that. We're going to go. So because they complained against God's man, the one he picked for it, if God picks a woman for something, don't you complain against her either. You're in trouble. This has to do with who God calls. You got me? Okay. So here they are in the wilderness of sin known as chaos. You tell me how many times in your own life you find yourself in chaos. There's chaos all around you. You think you get something figured out, and as soon as you turn around, it's all chaotic all over again. So therefore, while they're there, Joshua says in 5:5, for the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. See, when you start complaining, the Lord will give you something to complain about. In just a few days, they could have been across there. But no, they got to complain. They didn't like the way God was doing it. They didn't like where God was taking them. And they didn't like the man he chose to do it. Well, he was impaired. So God lets them wander. Folks, they're going in a circle in the middle of the wilderness. They're going in a circle because they refused to accept the love and the freedom that God was giving them. They refused to accept a deliverer that God sent to them. We'll pick who leads us. No, you won't. God has always said, I'll do that. And we get exactly what we deserve, folks. God says, I want you to go. They refused to do it his way. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nations, listen to when it changed, all the nations, that is, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished. Every one of them had to die. These are the ones, now, these are the ones that griped. These are the grumblers. They had to die because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to gripe about it, you'll never see it. So when they died out, it was time to go forward. Joshua was the next leader that God had chosen. At the beginning, they'd learn a lesson. I ain't griping about what God does anymore. I like the sound of milk and honey. Let's go get it. As soon as it crossed over, you know what they started doing? Complaining. And that just seems to be the human way. God gave us this story of the Old Testament and many others to prepare us for what was to come in the new. So let's jump up now to another generation and another wilderness. Jesus is here now. Jesus is getting ready to start his ministry. And the one that was coming to tell everybody that Jesus is here, his name was John the Baptist. Called a Baptist because he baptized. He'd followed what God had told him to do. So John the Baptist comes along. Now, listen to this. It had been Jesus getting ready to start his earthly ministry, about 30 years old or so. And he's looking at the people that God has called him to minister to. And the people are looking at him. Now, John the Baptist comes on the scene. There had not been a prophet in Israel, because of their sinning, for over 400 years. And then John the Baptist comes on the scene. I got to play John the Baptist in a church play one time. I scared people half to death. Had a lot of hair in those days. I put sand, wet sand, all over my hair. And came in shorts. And sand all over me. I mean, I was a mess. Franklin Crossroads Baptist Church. And I'd already read the background on John the Baptist, and I said, yep, I can do that part. I come in the front door. Preacher's up here. The play's going on. It's time for me to come in. Well, first thing that I was to say was, repent! That's what John said. I did. And my good old friends in that country congregation, I thought they were going to beat me half to death. I scared every one of them. But that's John the Baptist, and he's coming on the scene now, and he's yelling, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus had arrived. John's coming in. And John's yelling at him. So Jesus, as John's pointing to him, Jesus, listen to this one, Barrett. Jesus told John, baptize me. Baptize me. Lord, You don't need it. He said, allow it to be so to fulfill. What Jesus had come for was to show you and me what we need to be about, what we need to do. And he had to do it. Now listen again. He had to do it as 100% human. So what goes on with him is this. He is led up into the wilderness. Jesus is led up into the wilderness to be tempted. Getting ready to start his ministry. Satan's doing his best right now to stop that ministry. And he's led up as 100% human. And at no time during any one of the temptations that were thrown on him did he use his God power. It had to be 100% man. And Jesus was determined to conquer. For you see, if he used the God power at that point, then he would not have been able to say, I feel your pain, Joey, and your temptation. Larry, I know it, because he would have done it with his supernatural God power. No. So as 100% human being, it starts in the wilderness. I call it the wilderness of our sin. For he is led there to be tempted by Satan from a human standpoint. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Remember? Now this is the same Spirit of God that called Moses. This is the same Spirit that told the Hebrews, pay attention, you're getting in trouble. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Directly, the devil himself was going to tempt the Son of Man. He thought Jesus would slip up. You know, Satan's not very smart. More that I've studied over the years, I've realized that. He's not too bright when it comes to the power of God and his Son. And after Jesus, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Then he became hungry. You all can't wait right now to get out for lunch on Sunday afternoon. We've got to beat the line, preacher. Listen to it. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, this is Satan, if you are, all that if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus, come on, use your powers. Now, if you use your godly powers, you can turn that stone into bread, and that physical body of yours can eat. Looks good. The stones even look like little loaves of bread. Jesus, do this. If. Don't ever say if to God. You heard me on that one? Don't ever say if to God. God says do, you just do it. Lord, I'll do it if you, don't you worry about the if. He takes care of all the ifs in your life. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But listen, Jesus statement. But he answered and said, it is written. See, Satan was quoting scripture. He does that a lot during temptation. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know why I can live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God and not worry about the bread? Because God said, I'll provide you the bread. When I feed you, eat it. When the world tries to feed you, don't eat. Don't set it at the table. Get away from them. Well, that's not very polite. Well, you're not to be polite. You're to be Christ-focused. You're to listen to what God tells you to do. Do you think Moses was polite? Do you think that Jesus was really that polite when he went in the temple, saw them cheating with the money tables, grabbed a thing and made a whip out of it and started yelling, kicking over their tables and telling them, get out! That wasn't nice at all. And I guarantee you, many people would say, well, that's just not the Christian way. That's God's way. That's the trouble that we have today in our whole society. The preachers, those in charge, aren't stopping the world from coming in. The world does not have a right to come in and change God's word so that they can build their congregation. And you got a pastor, I'll tell him to hit the door in a heartbeat. But if you come to hear the story of Jesus, you are welcome. I don't care your background, but I care about you. But then you respect that word of God. You respect the house of God. You respect the people of God and the plan that God has for your life. Well, you know, I just accidentally came here. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. There's no such thing as an accident or coincidence. God sends you. You get there. Well, I don't like what he said. That preacher's rough. You ought to have been around John the Baptist and Moses. Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Quote the scripture. Learn the scripture. Know the scripture. Have it in your heart. Then the devil took him up to the holy city. And he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him. Now he's trying to get Jesus, the Son of God, to tempt God. Go ahead and tempt the Father. Here's what he says to him. If you are, there he started with if again. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Oh, let the people see a miracle. If they just see a miracle, everybody will follow you. You see a miracle, if they see that miracle, then you got this ministry down pat. No. Jesus refused to use his powers. Satan was trying for him to make him, make the Son of God, invoke his God powers. Knowing that if he had of, you and I would not have a salvation route. Because he conquered our sins from the human standpoint. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you. Yeah, it was. It was written. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Then Jesus said to him, on the other hand, I know Satan, again, I tell you how foolish he is. He thinks that Jesus don't know scripture. Obviously, because he keeps quoting it, thinking that Jesus isn't going to quote it back. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not test the Lord thy God. God, I'm going to get out here and I'm going to stand in the middle of the highway out here. And I know a whole group of Mack trucks are coming through. And the big Macks, as they storm through, Lord, I want to show everybody in the congregation of Vine Grove that I trust you. I'm going to stand in the middle of that road. As those trucks come, I know you're going to stop them. You're going to be roadkill, people. Yeah, you got me? You do not tempt the Lord thy God. You don't play games. He doesn't play games. He has your life in his heart. Therefore, again the devil took him then to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Think of this one. And their glory. What he's saying is, now Jesus, you got to have the background where your preacher going to tell you anyway. Don't even read it. Here it is. A cross is coming up. Jesus, you don't need to go. That's going to be messy. You don't need to do that. So here's what I'm going to do for you. What a shyster. Don't ever buy a car from someone that does that. Jesus, again the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, all these things, now listen to the easy way, will I give you. You want all of this stuff? I'll give it to you. Actually, he had the authority to do that. It was earthly. If you fall down and worship me, then Jesus, this is not in the scripture, I'll just tell you, he had enough. He's fed up with this. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. Be gone. For it is written. If you study at all, you'll notice after Jesus said, be gone, Satan, you're not hearing him anymore. Here, that dude left. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. God said, the wilderness of sin for the human race, for my son's family has been taken care of. My son conquered my wilderness of sin. God's son conquered your wilderness of sin. And in that conquering, we learned there's only one way. His name is Jesus. He was the ultimate deliverer that every prophet of the Old Testament pointed to. One day, Messiah's coming. One day, the deliverer is coming. One day, Jesus showed up. And he had your name on his heart. And he knew that you were going to be in the wilderness of sin. So therefore, he conquered it before we got there. Oh, that's a God, isn't it? Isn't that an awesome Savior? An awesome Savior that looks at your heart before you ever even exist. And knows where you're going to be. And make sure that he's going to be there to protect you. I love my protection. I love my Savior. And I love you all. That's the reason God says, you preach the truth. I'll take care of the rest of it. The truth is, salvation is of the Lord. He did it all for you and did it all for me. That's the word of God. And folks, it doesn't get any better than the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word, for your truth. But Father, we thank you that you gave us the history book of all that exists. You gave us, dear Lord God, your children, the right to be called sons of men, the sons and brothers, sisters of the Savior of the world. You gave us that right, Father. Jesus gave himself the name Son of Man, and he gave us the opportunity to be a part of his family. Thank you for that, Father. We ask your blessing now as we make commitments to you. In Jesus' name, amen.